Take two. Good morning. It's now 7:38 on Monday. Not seven, six. 6:38 on Monday, July the 20th, 2020. And take two because I've been walking and talking for about 30 seconds when Pandora decided it was going to start up again and stopped my recording. So anyway, hi, good morning. This is 6:38. This is about the time I'm usually getting up, but I had a bad night last night. The cats decided it would be fun to raise hell around 1. And so I wound up sleeping on the couch with the spray bottle, so when they started up again, I could just squirt them. And they seemed to calm down a little bit. But I woke up a little bit early and thought, okay, well, today's an early day. I've got to get things going early. I already spent, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes working on the book. I'm at that stage of second draft where I'm like, oh, this is just crap. This is just crap. I really like the Otto story. The Angela story that goes along beside it is... I need to do some serious rework on that. I'm so close to having the pieces in the correct order that I think if I could just find the focus I need to see this through, I could probably do it in a couple of days. But finding focus right now is not helping. It's not. Let's just say it's not coming easily. I know I'm not alone in this. At any rate, it's lovely and cool this morning. Ambient temperature 62. It may be up to 64 by now, but ambient 62, it was clear overnight, so the accumulated heat had a chance to radiate out. The cloud cover keeps the heat in, so having a relatively clear night made a big difference in this morning temperature. Gummy eyes this morning. I have gummy eyes every morning. It's not. It's pretty tedious. So, yesterday I misspoke. Yesterday I said Coast Guard had been transferred to Department of Defense. It hasn't. It's Homeland Security. Dan Thompson asked me some questions about my time in the Coast Guard. Joined the Coast Guard in 1970 when I graduated from high school. And I spent the summer working on draggers off the coast of Maine. And then in September, joined, enlisted in the Coast Guard. And the question was, if the Coast Guard wasn't under DOD at the time, how did that help my draft deferment? The answer is, draft only works on Army. You can only get drafted into the Army. If you want to join the Navy, you have to enlist. If you want to join the Air Force, you have to enlist. You can't be drafted into the Navy. You can't be drafted into the Air Force. And so, you can't be drafted if you're already enlisted in one of the other seven. There are 8 uniformed services in the United States. I don't know that I could name them. But and one of the other, if you enlist in one of the other uniformed services, then as far as the U.S. government is concerned, then you're already, you're doing your service. So enlisting in the Coast Guard meant they couldn't draft me into the Army because I was already in one of the services. Just like they couldn't draft me if I had joined the Navy or the Air Force. So I looked up some history just to make sure I had my facts straight, which I did not, but I do now, I think. Coast Guard was always part of the Treasury. Historically, the Coast Guard was part of the Treasury Department. They started out as a revenue cutter service. And as their roles expanded, they stayed basically within Treasury until 1967, when they went to the Department of Transportation. And so when I joined in 1970, they had just made that switch from Treasury to Transportation, which was not something that I was really aware of at the time. And it was right after 9/11 that they went to Department of Homeland Defense. Yeah, anyway, don't get me started on that. That's a dark rabbit hole. Anyway, so yeah, when I enlisted in 1970, I stayed in. My enlistment was for 4 years with 2 years in active reserve. So enlistment was for 6 years. So I enlisted and spent my first 4 years banging around. I went to Radio Man A School in Governor's Island, New York, and left there and went to Portsmouth Harbor Station to the medium endurance cutter Active that was then stationed at Portsmouth Harbor, and spent a year on lobster and hurricane patrol. Lobster patrol was, this is when Russian trawlers were coming into within the 200 mile limit.
Good morning.
Good morning. And dragging their nets through the lobster traps that were set in the shoals offshore. Okay, I got a lady who's walking really slow in front of me. So there's a famous incident in a movie about some Russian sailors who jumped off from one of the trawlers and asked for asylum on a Coast Guard cutter. And the skipper of the cutter put them back on their boat and was largely excoriated. Okay, I got too many people, and I got too many ground, too many prairie dogs. And just step off the side here and wait a minute and let people get by. Good morning. This must be old people time. Anyway, I don't remember the name of the movie. I don't remember the name of the cutter. I don't remember the name of the captain. I just remember that. Get ready. Say it with me. Monk Post. I just remember that when I was in, pretty sure it was when I was writing in A school in Governor's Island, that happened. And by the time I got out of Radium and A school, it was still going on. And offshore fishermen are an independent lot, shall we say. And so they had taken to shooting their 30-30s or 30-06s and shooting at the bridges of the Russian trawlers, try to get them to pull away. Hurricane patrol consisted, and our job was to go out and do marine inspection, maritime inspection, to make sure that what they were doing was legal. It wasn't, but the purpose was to put the cutter out there and to make them aware that American ships, warships, to be specific, were keeping track of everything they did. At least every third one was not actually a trawler. Every third one had nets out, and then they had some sort of fishing activity going on, but they also had some of the most amusing arrays of communications antennas out in their bridge structures. It was pretty obvious that they were really poorly camouflaged in spy boats. So this would have been 71, 72. I graduated from Radium and A school in spring of 71. I went to active and spent a year in active. Oh, Hurricane Patrol. Hurricane Patrol is one of those jobs that you really can't prepare yourself for. Even after you've done it a couple of times, you can't really prepare yourself for it. The routine for us, our patrol area, was from Cape Cod to the Canadian border. And our home port was right in the middle. Well, it was a little further south than that, but for argumentation purposes. We weren't stationed in Boston, for example, and there were cutters in Boston. There were high endurance cutters in Portland, which was 50 miles more. Northeast. Anyway, Hurricane Patrol started when we were assigned to cover a hurricane working its way up the coast. And to be fair, there weren't a lot of hurricanes that made it all the way up to New England. But there were enough of them that it was a regular thing. So during the hurricane season, we'd be assigned Hurricane Patrol, and we would go out on Hurricane Patrol. First thing we would do is we would go to Provincetown Harbor, which is right in the tip of Cape Cod. It's a big harbor. And we would put out anchors. In the harbor, we would drop three anchors, two from the bow, one from the stern. and we would wait for the storm to blow literally over the top of us. So we're sitting in a ship in a harbor waiting for the hurricane to hit us. And once the hurricane had gone by, we would pull in the anchor and we would follow it up the coast, picking up anything that anybody that survived and needed assistance. We saw a lot of boats that didn't actually make it, and pick up any people, be alert for anything that looked odd. But in the aftermath of a hurricane, you really can't grasp what the sea is like until you go out there and do it. And so for about a week, four or five days anyway, we would be following along in this hurricane. And this 210-foot cutter would be working its way up the side of one really big wave, roller, and then, like a roller coaster, we would go down the other side. And you go down the other side faster than you go up the front. Let me say that. And part of the movement is that we're running into a sea that's coming toward us. So we get to the top and the bow tips down. And frequently it tips down so fast that it pulls the screws, it pulls the propellers in the back of the boat out of the water. And they run without friction. They run without interference and shake the whole ship for just a second, maybe two, before, as we toboggan down the backside, before they drag into the water again and everything goes boom. But as we're going down the backside, the waves are tall enough that with the angle headed down, we would wind up driving the bow of the boat into the front of the next wave. And the ship would shudder. It would be like running into a wall. The ship would shake. And eventually it would begin to pull up. And the people on the bridge had the best view of it. But they all had to strap in because they couldn't really do your job that well if you were too busy trying to hang on. But the bow would literally bury itself in the sea. And I'm sure you've seen pictures of ships where they lift their bow out of the water, wave rolls back down the decks. That's exactly what it was like. But we were inside that little tin can. That was first time they told me that's what they were gonna do. I'm looking at them like, you gotta be kidding me. And by the third time I thought, well, all right, we're gonna do it again. The fourth time was, you know, you just have to go through and prepare the ship and make sure everything is tied down, make sure there's nothing loose, there's nothing gonna come flying out at you when your ship takes an unexpected roll. Just have to make sure you're someplace where you can get a handrail. I had a structural support beam by my bunk, so I could sleep with one leg braced against that, and that would keep me into my bunk. But after a year of that, they opened up a pre-commissioning detail for the Coast Guard Communication Station Kodiak, which had long been a Navy communication station on Kodiak Island in the Gulf of Alaska. I've been there since World War II, so there's a lot of fortifications around the coast of the island, all around the coast of the island. And I spent a year and a half at Comstay Kodiak before it became officially Coast Guard Comstay Kodiak. It was Naval Comstay Kodiak. And then I came back and went to work for the Search and Rescue Communications and Weather in Portland Harbor Station, which was my hometown, basically. And I extended my active duty by a year. They let you do it for a year. So I extended for a year and got out in September of 1975. So, in a nutshell, that's my Coast Guard duty story. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.